Body. I was relieved that neither one of the preachers last night preached from Daniel chapter 3. That helped. The very first preacher's fellowship I ever preached in, I was 30 years old. I've been mostly a music man to that point in my ministry, and I was just launching out as an evangelist at age 30. And so I was asked to preach second. That was a mistake to begin with. And the first guy got up there and said, "Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I said, "Wow. Same chapter that I'm preaching." He said, "Verse 1. I said, "Exact same text." So I got up. I said, "Just leave your Bibles open to Deuteronomy 6. And we had a good time that day. I love Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful to get to be here. And all the friends that are here, I appreciate all that. I'm looking for my cell phone. Anybody know where my cell phone is? Oh, would you get it for me, Brother Mike? That would help me, Pastor. That'll help me stay in time. I heard Dr. Ulett. What's that? Well, you know, I heard you say last night that you don't look. Oh, I've got it. I've got it right here. Never mind. I found it. Thank you, Brother Clark. Y'all work with me, would you? I've had a busy morning. I heard you say last night you didn't look at the clock. I'm going to watch mine myself today and try to stay within time. And all the dear friends here today. And don't you love the sword of the Lord? Amen. For 80 years, standing in the gap for the Lord. I read that first issue again a little bit this past weekend. In fact, I read some of it to the choir. Amazing first issue. And all the issues, I just read in this most recent one that I read and got such a blessing out of it. And I appreciate Dr. Smith. Thank you. And thank you for the sword of the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Ouellette. He helps me so much. I call him from time to time, and he's always an encouragement to me, and I'm glad of that. And I've got different preachers across America that I'll call from time to time and say, "Hey, I've got 10 minutes and I need somebody to preach to me." And they always are ready to preach to me. And I'm glad for that. And so many friends here. There are some music CDs. I'll say that in the hallway. There's these Bible songs for kids. We moved about 75,000 of them now and just gave another 1,000 away to 1,000 of the poorest children in America in book bags. We were asked if with all the school supplies to public school kids. And I said, "Yes, we'll be glad to give those 1,000 CDs." And that's already taken place. Newest CD is by Scott Caudle, my dear friend. Beautiful CD, By Faith. And there's lots of different CDs out there. They're any size donation. You can go to the website. They're $15 each, which is a great price for us. And today, though, they're any size donation. You can stop by with $5, get a CD. Stop by with $20, get two or three. $100,000. You can get all the CDs, and you get a free ride in that new airplane that we've been flying around in. And for $200,000, we'll land you safely. Yes, donations picking up once you get up there. Would you like to land safely? Well, Daniel chapter 3, let's get with it here. I've entitled this morning's message, Fireproof Faith. And I want you to look with me here in Daniel chapter 3. You know John 3:16. Here's Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power. Neither was any hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and that trusted in him, and changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar says, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Woo! I like that passage. And it's not just a little story, not a little fairy tale. It's an actual account that took place, man. And I absolutely love it. And my heart is stirred again just by the reading of God's word. You want revival? Read the Bible a while and pray. Hallelujah for the Bible this morning. Well, about 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he attacked Judah. He conquered Judah. And following that victory, Nebuchadnezzar ordered that the best and the brightest young men out of Judah would be deported back over there to Babylon. And his plan was to train these bright folks from Judah, these young folks. He was going to make them into Babylonians. He was going to teach them how to act like Babylonians. He's going to dress them like Babylonians. He's going to get them to think like Babylonians. He's going to acclimate them into the culture of Babylon. And he even changed their names. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not their original names. They were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you some Babylonian names. Well, these fellows, you may give them some Babylonian names. You may change their names, but you haven't changed their hearts. Hallelujah. They're still determined. They're going to serve God. Now, we're praying for revival in this meeting, are we not? I'll tell you one revival that we need this morning, and that is faith in God. Amen. A revival of faith in God. Where God's people just believe God. Amen. And trust God and depend upon God and not live by fear. The devil operates on fear. He tries to scare people. He tries to scare Christians. But the Bible teaches that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes. And so we live by faith. Amen. Jesus said, have faith in God. Where does your faith rest this morning? I'll tell you something by way of testimony. I've found that even a little trembling faith in a great God can bring giant blessings. I don't consider myself a fellow of great faith at all. I'd like to be faithful, and I'd like to have faith, don't you? Hello? We want to be faithful to God and have faith in God. I feel like that fellow there in the Bible that came to Jesus and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And God will help us if we'll let him. You want God to help you this morning? Hello? God will help us if we'll let him. And he'll help us have some more faith. We need some faith. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their faith was tested. Their faith was tested. And the Bible says, don't think it's strange when you have some temptations. And your faith is going to be tested in this world. Twice last year, I had threats by gun to quit talking about Jesus. And at that point, I left, man. Amen. I like living. And I don't even want to feel what a bullet feels like, you know? They get the gun out, I'm leaving. There's folks who will be against you and test your faith, and there'll be people who will say ugly things. Surely we're not going to let people talking ugly about us stop us from being faithful to God. Amen. We're sorry for folks that don't have their faith and trust in God. We want to see everybody have faith in God, and we Christians want to live by faith. And these fellas here, they're living by faith. Now, they had some choices. These three men had some choices. They, you know, this great big 90-foot tall image is set up, and then all kind of instruments are playing. The band goes, and the command was everybody bow down. These fellas, well, they had some options. They could have said, well, I will bow down, but I will not actually worship the idol. They could have said that. They chose not to, but they could have. They could have said, well, you know, I'll worship this one time, and then I'll ask God for forgiveness. A lot of Christians operate that way. That's not right, is it? Let's be faithful to God. They could have said that. They could have said, you know, we're on foreign land. We're on foreign soil. And God will excuse us from just following the customs of this land. They could have used that excuse. They could have said, you know, our ancestors, we heard about them setting up idols in the temple, and this isn't half as bad as setting them up in the temple. They could have used that. They could have said, well, now look around. Everybody else is doing it. It's not that bad. Everybody's doing it. They could have said this, you know, if we stand up against this and get ourselves killed, then how are we going to help our people? If we're dead, we can't help our people. So if we'll just bow down, we'll still get to live, and we'll get to still serve our people. You know, I've seen people try to manipulate that way before. I was leading a fellow to Christ one night. I was witnessing him, Mikey. He's now a faithful member of our church, but I remember witnessing him one night. He was in trouble with lots of things that I won't go into. And I remember witnessing to him, and he said, I want to get saved. I said, that's great. Call out to the Lord now. He said, Lord, you know I'm not too bad. I said, stop it, Mikey. I said, you're not going to get saved that way. And I witnessed on to him from the Bible for a while. And then he prayed another that some folks might think is a clever prayer. He said, all right, Brother Fox, I won't get saved. He began to pray. He said, now, Lord, if you'll meet me halfway, I'll meet you halfway. I said, Mikey, I don't think you want to get saved. He said, I do. I said, well, you won't get saved that way. It's going to be God's way or no way. Amen. Amen to that. After a while, I saw the Holy Spirit break Mikey's heart. He got gloriously saved. The other day, he was coming there at our church. He was bringing two down the aisle. I don't even know if they wanted to come down the aisle. He wants to see people saved. Amen. When you get saved, you want to see others saved. But it's not time to try to manipulate God. It's time to just stand up for God and put our faith in our holy God. Amen. Hallelujah. People trying to rationalize, manipulate, all that. Let's just simply have faith in God. Well, these fellas here, fireproof faith. That's the kind of faith they had. Well, here's four little thoughts about having fireproof faith. Number one, fireproof faith will be pioneering faith. It'll be pioneering faith. These fellows had never been threatened with a fiery furnace like this before. I mean, here's this great big furnace, and if you do not bow down and worship this idol, we're going to throw you in there. Well, that's a new thing to face. Say, Brother Fox, how do you want to die? Is it in a fiery furnace? No. Say, Brother Fox, would you like to have a plane crash tomorrow? No. Brother Fox, would you like to drown? No. Brother Fox, how do you want to die? Real easy. And God gives dying grace. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Have faith in God all the way. And it's a pioneering faith. Missionaries, when they go to the field, they have to have some pioneering faith. And people saying, oh, deputation is so hard. Come on, man. If you can't do deputation here in America, what kind of missionary are you going to be? Launch out and do something. Amen. It takes some pioneering faith. Being a pastor. Takes some pioneering faith. You go through situations, wow, that you never thought you would face. I know my own pastor. I talked with him yesterday. called him this morning, going through things, and just trying to be a friend to my pastor and a good member of our church, and trying to help and pray. We had prayer today. I had prayer with several different pastors across America today, facing things, trying to get things done. One man said to me, he said, "Brother Fox, we've just hit a roadblock." I said, "Let's pray to Almighty God to tell us what to do." Amen to that. And have some pioneering faith. Many things are difficult. Just stay with it. Have some pioneering faith. That's what these fellas did. First time you lead singing in church. I remember how nervous I was. I was telling a little bit about being the song leader at the rescue mission. It was terrible. I was 13 years old. It was terrible. I couldn't sing. I didn't know what all this stuff meant. There's a reason I didn't know what all this stuff meant, because song leader at our church didn't know what it meant either. But getting up there to lead singing, it's going to take some pioneering faith. So I've never done that before. If God calls you to do it, do it. Do it. Do it. Do whatever God has called you to do. Playing the piano publicly for the first time for the Lord. Do it. Do it. Have some pioneering faith about you. Practice. Work at it. Prepare. But have some pioneering faith. Working in Sunday school. Oh, let's have a revival of Sunday school. Where Sunday school teachers pray over their role. Go soul winning over their role. Call everybody on their role. Trying to win folks to Christ. Have some pioneering faith. Build that class. Amen. I got a picture of some sermons by Lee Robertson. I was over there at Curtis King's church, and I looked at those pictures again today, Pastor King, and wow, Dr. Robertson, those sermons, I just relished. There was a man of faith. There was a man who believed God, and he tried to get us to believe God, and he wanted us to win souls to Christ. Let's be faithful to it. It's pioneering work. Working with teenagers, that's pioneering work. You want to know how to stay young? Work with teenagers. You want to die? You want to know how to die young? Work with teenagers. Oh, but I've seen teenagers get on fire for God. I got together a group of 40 teenagers there in Hampton, Virginia, and worked with them for about 7 months to make a recording. Took them on a little tour, made the recording. Each morning was recording in Kentucky and West Virginia, different places, recording each morning. Each afternoon going out soul winning. And I saw those young people get on fire for God. In fact, I began calling churches on our as we traveled. I said, "Hey, we'll be at your area in about 3 hours. Why don't you just get as many people you can get together in that auditorium and let these young people start testifying and singing?" We began stopping at rest stops and having spontaneous services. Hallelujah. I like how that Brother Greg, I remember the first time Brother Greg and I went out soul winning. Brother Greg, we was talking about this morning. First time we went soul winning, I said, "My name is Byron Fox, and this is Danny." I couldn't remember what your name was. You went along with it that day. You're launching out at these fairs with your wife, Miss Becky, and doing those beautiful paintings and trying to win folks to Christ. Pioneer work. We need some more pioneer work. Amen. And all that pioneer work doesn't happen right in here. Most of it happens out there. And so let's have some pioneering faith. That's what these fellows did. This fireproof faith. Number one, it's going to be pioneering faith. Number two, it's launching faith. You're going to have to launch out. These men said, "We're going to stand up for God. We're not going to bow down." You know, talk is cheap.
Sure.
Talk is cheap. "I'm going to stand for God." Well, are you? Get started, please. Amen. Get started. Now, I don't know technically if what I'm telling you is completely accurate, but it is at Bible Truth Music Headquarters, it is. I've told our folks over and over, and my preacher boys and all that, I said, I believe there's a difference between visionaries and people of vision. I've seen some folks that I classify as visionaries, the way I'm talking about it now. They talk big stuff. "They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to do this." And I see them do nothing.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
Yeah.
I was on a phone conference one day with a number of preachers, and they was talking about planting churches. And I'm all for planting churches. Amen. Amen. I'm helping two churches right now get started. Praise God. I'm excited about it. We need more lighthouses, not fewer lighthouses. More churches. And I was on this phone conference about planting churches. I hung up, and one of my friends said, "You think anything's going to happen?" I said, "I don't. I don't like just talk. I like action. Don't you?" And, you know, launch out. Launch out and actually do it. Now, I've seen some folks get a vision and then go for it. I like it. And sometimes when you launch out there, you wobble a little bit. It's kind of like the first time you ride the bicycle without the training wheels. You're wobbling some, but praise God you got on the bicycle. Yeah. Praise God for preachers who will launch out and try to do something for God. Amen. Faith in God. Find God's will. I was talking to Brother Whitfield about this Spanish work he's trying to do. I said, you find God's will in the Bible, and you find exactly where to do it on your knees has been my experience. Get on your knees, folks, and say, God, you've told us what to do. I've got a mandate to witness. Amen. Yeah. I've got a mandate to try to evangelize as many folks as I can. I got a mandate. You do too if you're saved.
Yeah.
But exactly where you ought to be planted, get on your knees, God. You tell me where to launch out. And Lord, if you'll tell me, I'll try to do it. That should be our attitude. Amen to that? Listen, this pioneer faith, this fireproof faith, number one, it's pioneering faith. Number two, it's launching faith. You got to get started. Number three, it's active faith. It's active. These fellows were active. There's action. The king, he strikes up the band. Everybody bows down except these three fellows. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, the king comes. Now, maybe you fellows didn't understand. I'm going to give you another chance. In fact, we'll just have a little private ceremony just for you. We'll start up the band. You three fellows just bow down. Everything will be fine. They said, King, we're not going to do that. I mean, they're fellows of real action. They talked to the king, took some action and said, King, we're not going to do that. We're not going to bow down before this image. They're folks of action. They actually took a stand for righteousness and a stand for God. They're folks of action. Listen, actions speak louder than words. So I'm your friend. Okay. Then let's work together as friends. And let's do something as friends in the cause of Christ. And now folks that have fireproof faith, Christians who have fireproof faith, do you think they tithe? Yes. Well, yes. I've got it set up that my mind automatically goes. And then I periodically call and make sure everything's right on that. Shouldn't a Christian tithe to their local church? A regular. Amen to that? If you've got fireproof faith, you'll take that action of tithing. If you've got fireproof faith and you're saved, won't you be active in attending your church? Say, Brother Fox, I did a favor for God last month. I attended once. Come on, friends. If we've got fireproof faith, we're going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. If it's real fireproof faith, we're going to attend church. Are we going to be faithful to reading our Bible? Are we going to take that action every day? We talk a lot about it. We come to church and we talk about reading our Bible. Are we really taking that action every day? How can we be healthy Christians if we're not feasting on the Bible? Getting our daily nourishment from the Word of God. My dad can barely read. Last year, I stopped by my dad's house. He had five Bibles out on the table. One opened here, one here, and here. He had five Bibles out on the table. I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I'm studying. It takes him such a while to find the right passage. He just got him five Bibles out. Don't you love that? I do. It helps me. My dad, he's still trying to knock 100 doors for the Lord a week.
Amen.
How can I quit?
Yeah.
When I know my dad's still out there, 80-something years old. My dad works Bible Truth Music every day. And everybody wants my dad to fill their package because he always gives bonus items. There's folks in this room who said to me, Brother Fox, what's your dad's extension there at Bible Truth Music? He likes to fill those boxes up, you know, and not with peanuts, with music, you know. And so we have to get him out of the packing room. Man of action. Man of action. That's what we ought to be. Amen?
Yeah.
Fireproof faith is going to have some action to it. Reading the Bible, tithing, going soul winning. The hardest thing, at least one of the two hardest things that pastors have to do is getting people to go soul winning. You talk about it, you implore about it, you beg about it, you push, you plead. Man, keep doing it, pastors, please. Is there too much soul winning going on in America?
No,
too little. And preachers, we've got to lead the way. The God Bless America crusade we had in Charlotte, North Carolina, we had 77 sponsoring churches. And when we got started, 1 year out, we only had 12. I was ready to quit. I fasted and prayed. I said, "Lord, this is not going to work. It's going to look bad. I'm sorry, Lord." And God told me, just be faithful. And those 77 independent Baptist churches, a number of them did not have organized soul winning every week. In fact, you know, we was having soul winning for 40 straight days leading up to the crusade. And I had one pastor bring some of his people, and he came to me and said, "Brother Fox, you help us. We don't know how to do this. And it's a shouting Baptist church with some good folk in it. But they just hadn't done it." Hallelujah. They've got an organized soul winning time now. Amen. Amen. One of the churches called me the other day and said, "Brother Fox, we've been doing 8 times as much soul winning as we were doing before the crusade." Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen to that. We need more soul winning. And if we're having this fireproof faith, friends, it will be an active faith. One last thing. This fireproof faith that we see exhibited by these men, the last thing, it's a saving faith. These fellows, God saved them from that fiery furnace. God saved them. Listen, even the folks who carried them up there and threw them in, their lives were lost. The soldiers who carried them, their lives were lost. Wow. But when you brought these three men out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you smell it. "I don't even smell smoke on you, man."
Yeah.
No! Fire's got no power. No power over them. That's amazing. That just shows too what God can do. And He can do that for any sinner as far as saving them, not from that fire, but saving them from the fire of hell and saving them from their sin. God can save any sinner. There's no sinner so bad. I told here this past Sunday about a man I saw saved, been arrested 53 times. Now he sings in the choir. In fact, the last time I was up at his church, he was singing that choir right beside a lawyer. And by the way, at that meeting, James got up there and sang a solo at that church.
Amen.
That's what God can do.
Amen.
God can save anyone. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? Oh, I love Daniel chapter 3. There are folks that really believed God. Well, now, how's your faith today? Oh, that God would increase our faith today. That we'd launch out and we'd be active in our faith. Oh, Lord, please. We need a revival of faith.
Yes.
And faithfulness. Now, Lord, there's not anything you cannot do that you want to do. And I know that faith pleases you. Without faith, there's no way we can please you. But I know faith pleases you. And I pray for me and everybody in this room that we would have faith and we'd be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.